众朋友们，大家好，今天是9月18号，星期五，欢迎收看《美国观察》。9月20号是 TikTok 的交易期限，不过对于目前甲骨文公司提出的交易方案，特朗普总统表示了疑虑。白宫幕僚长梅多斯表示，如果控制权大部分还是在中国公司手上，那么这笔交易不会被允许。下面我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄杨毅的报道。
这个星期天9月20号就是 TikTok 交易的最后期限，如果过了这个期限呢，它与甲骨文公司或其他美国公司的交易没有完成的话，那么 TikTok 将会在美国被禁用。那么在星期三晚上的白宫新闻简报会上呢，特朗普总统被问到是否已经准备好批准甲骨文公司与 TikTok 的交易，尤其现在字节跳动应该会保有大部分的所有权，而现在的这笔交易是否符合特朗普总统对于所谓国家安全的考量。那么对这些的问题呢，特朗普总统做出了回应。
Has to be 100% as far as national security is concerned. And no, I'm not prepared to sign off on anything. I have to see the deal. We need security, especially after what we've seen with respect to China and what's going on. We want security. We're looking into that from the standpoint of ByteDance. We don't like that. I mean, just conceptually, I can tell you I don't like that. That has not been told to me yet.That has been reported, but hasn't been told to me. It could be very accurate reporting for a change. So if that's the case, I'm not going to be happy with that.Assuming that ByteDance is China, which I think it probably is, yeah.
而在星期四的时候呢，字节跳动公司又表示说，他们跟甲骨文公司的技术伙伴合作，不仅要获得美国政府的批准，也要获得中国政府的审批。那么根据提交到白宫的提案，字节跳动将会设立一个美国的总部，负责 TikTok 的全球业务。该公司预计将创造20000个新的职位。这个公司将会与甲骨文公司进行可信赖的技术伙伴合作，而甲骨文将会负责TikTok 美国用户的数据储存还有管理，而甲骨文呢也将获得 TikTok 的源代码，来确保字节跳动没有透过后门来收集用户的资料。白宫幕僚长梅多斯星期四上午在白宫对记者说，关于 TikTok 与甲骨文的这笔交易，白宫还在审议这个协议当中的可能细节，而如果这笔交易只是新瓶装旧酒，那么主要的所有权呢还是掌控在中国政府掌控的国家当中营运的公司，那么这个就不符合总统的目标，将不会批准。而特朗普总统在签署总统的行政命令，对字节跳动以及 TikTok 施加禁令之后，曾经多次的表示，由于美国政府在这一宗交易当中扮演重要的角色，财政部应该获得交易金额的一部分。而在星期三的白宫新闻简报会上呢，特朗普总统说，白宫的法律顾问告诉他，并没有办法这样做，不过他说还会再来审议可能的做法。我们看一下特朗普总统是怎么说的。
Amazingly, I find that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to accept money. I said, what kind of a thing is this? If they're willing to make big payments to the government, they're not allowed because there's no way of doing that from there's no legal path to doing that. And I'm saying, wait a minute, they're willing to make a big payment to the government and we're not allowed to take the money? When does this happen? How foolish can we be? So we're looking into that right now. You understand that? In other words, I said, no, I want a big chunk of that money to go to the United States government because we made it possible. And the lawyers come back to me and they say, well, there's no way of doing that. You know why? Because nobody's ever heard of that before. Nobody's ever said that before. Nobody's ever said, well, we'll approve the deal.But we want a lot of money to go to the government because by approving the deal, we're making the deal valuable.
而白宫的首席经济顾问库德洛星期三的时候在白宫对记者们说，他说呢，在 TikTok 的交易当中，安全是最高考量，尤其考虑到被泄露到中国的资料，所以公司的所有权是最重要的。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
美国公司甲骨文与 TikTok 的合作协议正在被审议之中，不过目前已经有多位共和党议员表示反对，他们说这项计划可能无法解决美国的安全风险问题。来看报道。
参议院情报委员会代理主席卢比奥参议员星期三率领多位的国会共和党成员致函白宫，向特朗普总统对 TikTok 和甲骨文之间的合作协议表示担忧和质疑。议员们还警告说，这样的安排很有可能将违反特朗普总统在上个月签署的有关 TikTok 的行政命令。议员在他们的联名信当中提到，美国公司和字节跳动之间的任何交易都必须确保 TikTok 在美国的运营数据和算法完全不受字节跳动或任何中国国家机关指示的控制。 多位国会共和党成员也告诉美国之音，他们反对目前甲骨文和 TikTok 所提出来的这项合作模式。我们来听听国会议员怎么说。
If Oracle can make a deal with TikTok such that the data is preserved and safeguarded from the Chinese Communist Party, I think we need to be open to that. We're a free society and we want competition and we want good products.But we can't have any, influence from the Chinese Communist Party whatsoever. And so if they can't make that assurance to the American people, then the deal has to be off. Again, the Chinese Communist Party cannot have access. That's the answer. So anything short of that is a non-starter.
My concern is it's a Chinese company. So there's Chinese technology more than likely embedded in that.That the Chinese Communist Party can control. So if it goes to Oracle, who's really operating it is my concern. And it's undergoing CFIUS review now. And if they can prove that that's not a threat from embedded technology, we'll let the process go on. But it needs to be very well vetted through the proper channels.I wouldn't say ban them all right now, but I think they need to be very heavily scrutinized and investigated. We have let our guard down too long, and you know.
国会议员还强调，最重要的关键问题是数据安全。任何在美国运作的应用程序都不能够有后门通往北京。我们继续来听听共和党联邦参议员卢比奥和霍利怎么说。
It's not about the apps; it's about the data. And I just, if there's a country in the world that.Has a proven track record of intellectual property theft, of totalitarian use of private information and so forth. We have deep concerns when they begin to expand the domestic reach into the private data of Americans, American consumers, American businesses.
Well, based on what I know about it, I mean, it's out there. If it's just going to be a licensing agreement whereby Oracle...gets to use the TikTok algorithm, but there's no real separation in ownership or in data or in code or platform, then yeah, I think it's a bad idea. What I think we ought to do is pass my bill that puts in place restrictions on the amount of data companies based in China or Russia or the security threats, the amount of data they can collect. It bans them from transferring that data, and it also requires CFIUS pre-clearance review at the front end of any purchase or acquisition. So, because you're right, this is going to happen over and over.
霍利参议员曾经在去年十一月推出《国家安全与个人数据保护法》，目的在防止美国用户的数据资料被传输到中国或者其他对美国国家安全构成威胁的国家。卢比奥参议员也曾经在上个月表示，他计划推出一部法案。为外国高风险的应用程序来制定一套标准框架。不过，卢比奥的法案至今尚未推出。以上是美国之音记者李一华、钟瑞哲在华盛顿的采访报道。
美国国务院表示，在2015年伊朗核协议之前，国际社会加诸伊朗的种种制裁措施将会在美东时间9月19号晚上8点恢复。高级美国官员表示，外国还有个人如果违反伊朗的武器禁运。同伊朗政府进行武器或者是非法的科技交易将会遭到制裁。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
特朗普政府表示将确保对伊朗的种种制裁措施获得有效执行，而在针对伊朗的武器禁令到期之后，美国将施加一系列的制裁，阻止中国和俄罗斯向伊朗出售武器。美国对伊朗以及委内瑞拉问题特使艾布拉姆斯告诉记者，制裁措施将对寻求与德黑兰做生意的武器制造商和贸易商产生非常重大的影响。他说，和伊朗进行非法军火与生意往来的商人将会立刻感受到被全力履行、被恢复的制裁措施。星期三，美国国务卿蓬佩奥和来访的英国外交大臣拉布一致表示，绝对不能让伊朗获得核武器。
Well, we will return to the United Nations to reimpose sanctions so that the arms embargo will become permanent next week. We believe deeply that this is good for the peoples of all nations.
英国外交大臣还呼吁德黑兰和外界进行外交谈判。
I think we absolutely agreed that Iran must never be allowed to obtain a nuclear weapon. We also, I think, share the view that the diplomatic door is open to Iran to negotiate a peaceful way forward. That decision, that choice, is there for the leadership in Tehran to take.
伊朗被美国视为在中东地区的敌人，而传统上中国与伊朗关系良好。中国和伊朗正在强化双方在能源、科技、军事等方面的合作。美国官员警告，如果中国和俄罗斯违反禁令，两国也会面临美国的制裁。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣祥的报道。
美国国务院星期四宣布，国务次卿克拉奇在拜访台湾时将参加前总统李登辉的追思仪式。来看报道。
美国副国务卿克拉奇在台湾时间星期四下午5:30左右抵达台湾，他也是1979年以来访台层级最高的美国国务院官员。而这一次随着他一同来访台湾的，还有国务院民主人权暨劳工事务局驻卿戴思卓、商务部主管全球市场助理部长史怡恩、国务院全球妇女议题无任所大使柯丽，以及前国防部印太安全事务助理部长薛瑞福。在接下来的2天行程里，克拉奇将会拜访台湾的总统蔡英文、行政院院长以及外交部部长等台湾高阶官员。而台湾外交部也表示，这一次呢，台美双方将会针对经济、产业、供应链安全、民主以及印太区域等议题进行讨论。而他们也会针对先前所提及的美台经济与商业对话进行持续的协商，并且呢，来讨论后续要举办的形式以及日期。这次虽然并不是美台双方正式的一个经济对话，却引发了北京相当的不满。在星期四的时候，中国外交部就抨击这是违反了一个中国的原则，并且呢，也认为这是破坏了台海的和平以及中美之间的关系。这也是继上个月8月初的时候，美国派卫生部部长阿扎尔来台之后，再度又派遣高阶官员来台。星期六呢，这个克拉奇副国务卿也会出席台湾前总统李登辉的追思礼拜，并且表达这个李登辉为台湾民主做的贡献呢，来对他做一个致敬。以上是美国之音记者李文怡在台北的报道。
美国驻华使领馆发推特表示，他们在中国的微博还有微信上发文章受阻，推文说中国的审查者继续阻止我们的大使同中国人民讲话。
推文附上两张截图，可以看到这篇名为《中华人民共和国虚伪的宣传系统》的美国大使署名文章在微信上被阻止发布，系统显示此内容因违规无法查看。而在微博上显示成功发布，需要人工审核3分钟。不过美国驻华使领馆表示，文章并没有被成功发布，微博的技术支持说不能告知原因。美国驻华使领馆的推特继续表示，中国驻美大使崔天凯不受阻碍出现在美国新闻节目和出版物上，而美驻华大使布兰斯塔德却面临北京的审查。在此之前，他向中国官媒《人民日报》投书一篇关于改善美中关系的文章，遭到了拒绝。布兰斯塔德于本周早些时候宣布，他将于10月初卸任驻中国大使这一职务，结束他3年的任期。在他任内，美中展开了贸易战，两国关系急转直下。美国国务卿蓬佩奥对他在中国的大使工作表示了肯定。布莱斯塔德称，他将在卸任后以志愿者身份参加美国总统特朗普的连任竞选活动。美国之音为您报道。
美国司法部表示，尽管中国应用微信在美国的运营会受到限制，但是这款应用的用户并不会受到惩罚。另一方面，佛罗里达州一名被控非法向中国出售海上战斗突击艇的女子已经认罪。
司法部日前在一份法庭文件中说，即使司法部长下星期宣布具体行动限制微信在美国的运营，其用户也不会因此面临民事或刑事处罚。特朗普总统8月6日颁布一项行政令，禁止美国管辖下的个人或公司与拥有微信的中国公司腾讯进行任何交易。在微信禁令颁布的2天后，5名华人律师随即组成了美国微信用户联合会，向北加州联邦地区法院递交了诉状，指责这项行政令侵犯了他们的言论自由、宗教自由以及宪法赋予的其他权利。 司法部9月16日表示，居住在佛罗里达州的美国公民杨洋被控合谋通过向联邦政府自动出售系统提交虚假出口信息，以欺诈手段向中国出口海上战斗突击艇和引擎等，因此触犯美国法律。杨洋对上述指控已经认罪。去年10月，杨洋和他的丈夫美国海军上尉杨帆因涉嫌泄密和从事非法活动，在杰克逊维尔被捕。司法部说，杨洋最高可被判处15年的联邦监禁，目前宣布量刑裁决的日期尚未确定。一项新的研究报告称，2020年美国和中国之间的投资大幅度下降，达到9年来的最低水平。经济咨询公司荣鼎集团在这份报告中说，从今年1月至6月，两国企业的直接投资和风投资金总额为109亿美元，比去年同期减少了 16.2%。 报告上说，造成上半年投资下降的另外一个因素是新冠病毒大流行。此外，在这半年中，特朗普政府因国家安全风险问题加大了对中国科技企业的限制。报告说，美国对待字节跳动的方式以及美中科技整合势头的逆转都可能会引起一些政策上的变化，使美国科技企业在中国的发展变得更加困难。
西部的野火还在持续之中，不过即将到来的降水可能会改善华盛顿州还有俄勒冈州的情况。另一方面，美国疾控中心警告说，野火可能会导致人们更容易患上某些呼吸道疾病。
在创纪录的大火席卷美国西部之际，特朗普总统仍然对气候变化因素持怀疑态度，这是他在会见加利福尼亚州官员的会议上的对话。
It'll start getting cooler.
I wish you just watch. I wish science agreed with you.
Hey, well, I don't think science knows, actually.
但加州大学野火专家勒罗伊·韦斯特林表示，长久以来，科学一直在对气候变化发出警报。
We've been doing modeling and simulation for years now that indicates that these really severe, widespread fire seasons, are coming.And we're seeing that emerge in real time.
他说，野火燃烧需要干燥的植物，而气候变化正在为野火增加燃料供应。研究显示，美国西部过去一个世纪以来一直在转暖，而空气暖化会让东西干燥得更快。他说，这意味着即使在正常年份，天气也会更加干燥，而这些年并不属于正常年份。
We had a drought for 5 years earlier in the 21st century here. That was unprecedented in probably the last 1,000 to 1,200 years at least.
美国森林服务部野火专家杰西卡·哈洛夫斯基说，温暖的天气正在融化西部山区作为水储备的积雪，这个地区仰赖冬季积雪来提供持久的供水。
We're seeing more precipitation falling as rain rather than snow. The snowpack isn't lasting as long with the higher temperatures.So it's running off earlier in the season.
当夏季的干燥月份来临时，剩下的水就更少了。而天气更暖更干，却帮助了能够杀死树木的甲虫大规模繁衍。仅仅在加利福尼亚州，所有这些因素就有导致大约1亿5千万株易燃的死树伫立在森林里。但哈洛夫斯基说，人类本身也要为火灾负责。较小规模的火灾过去会自然发生，让森林的林木变得比较稀疏。
We have suppressed fire very effectively since World War II. That means there are more fuels now than there used to be. And so when fires do occur, there's more fuel to burn and they're more severe.
另外，越来越多的人居住在容易发生火灾的地区，因此一旦发生火灾，破坏性更大，造成的损失也更严重。哈洛夫斯基说，随着地球继续暖化，情况会更糟。
There's going to be more fire. You know, a kind of ballpark is maybe 2 to 3 times the annual area burned in the future.
科学家说，今年破纪录的火灾季节只是小意思，厉害的还在后头。美国之音记者巴拉戈纳发来的报道。
我们经常会听到美国的竞选州所谓的摇摆州，那么摇摆州究竟是什么意思？我们一起去了解一下。
在如此动荡的一年中，特朗普总统和民主党竞争者拜登之间的竞赛一直非常一致。距离大选日不到2个月时间，拜登在大部分民调中延续夏季以来的领先优势，在几个决定选举结果的战场州，他同样保有差距较小的优势。特朗普仍近在咫尺，凭靠他最忠实的支持者的热情和对失望的共和党支持者最终回归的希望。尽管如此，两党都为未来可能发生的变化做好准备，特别是特朗普向聚焦安全和担心暴动的白人社区做积极宣传。目前还不清楚他的言辞会产生多大的共鸣，但民主党人坚持这是不容忽视的，特别是中西部北边的几个州。排名靠前的6个摇摆州包括密西根州、宾夕法尼亚州和威斯康星州。特朗普总统在上次大选中赢过民主党，还有3个阳光带州：北卡罗来纳州、佛罗里达州和亚利桑那州。
The advertising spending and the travel of both campaigns make clear those six are kind of the concentrated core of the battleground map.
巴罗说，密西根是6个州当中拉距最接近的州。
Donald Trump won Michigan by 10,700 votes, which is just a razor-thin margin in presidential politics, and it's hard to imagine any scenario.In which Joe Biden becomes president of the United States without flipping a state like Michigan.
拜登的竞选活动主要集中在重夺中西部各州，并在亚利桑那州和佛罗里达州表现得力。拜登的盟友希望这场灾难性的大流行病能让他们取得有利地位。美联社白宫记者乔纳森·勒米雷表示，其中一个重要原因可能是摇摆州的年长者不认同总统处理新冠病毒危机的方式。
That same demographic.That is hurting the president in Florida. Arizona is one that the Trump campaign didn't think they'd have to fight too hard for. They now do. And in fact, there's a growing fear that if Arizona slips away, they'll have to make up those electoral college votes somewhere else.
两个政党都在试着扩大战场版图。美联社美国政治记者汤姆·伯蒙特表示，共和党正在明尼苏达州大力投入传播法律和秩序信息，以赢得白人郊区的支持。民主党则在俄亥俄州努力。
Looking at the decline in those suburbs tells me that he may have more to worry about in Ohio. And if he has more to worry about in Ohio, he definitely has more to worry about in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. And I would even throw Iowa in there. Iowa was a 9-point state for the president.
拜登、特朗普和他们竞选团队的日程安排被竞选活动填满，在11月选举结果公布之前，还有足够的时间看到更多惊奇。美国之音新闻报道。
今年美国总统大选结果揭晓的时间，很可能因为大多数人选择邮寄投票而延长。来看报道。
当一个候选人大幅领先，要宣布选举的获胜者很容易。但当得票数量接近，可能需要一些时间才能决定胜负。在投票站投下的选票计算起来很快，但邮寄选票的计算过程要慢得多，因为需要时间让选票到达，让选务官员检查选票的真假，还要完成统计。因此，在候选人旗鼓相当的竞选中，邮寄选票比例很高的话，可能需要几天甚至几周时间才能知道谁获胜。许多顾虑新冠病毒的选民预计将邮寄投票。2020年总统大选结果无法迅速决定的可能性因此增加。
美国的一个青少年想出了一个比较经济实惠的办法，提供量身打造的义肢给那些有需要的人。
This is the first prototype that I made, and I hadn't quite gotten the hang of making this. I made it as if a girl would want it, with a little unicorn in the middle. So this is when it clenches, so the child can actually hold something with it, and it's not completely...
My name is Masa Riyar. I am 13 years old, and I founded my company Limitless Limb last year that makes 3D printed, customizable, and affordable prosthetics for children with limb loss.I read a book about a girl who lost her leg in an accident, And in the book, she couldn't afford a prosthetic limb. And I was like, how expensive could prosthetic limbs be? So I did some research and found out that they're extremely expensive and most children can't even afford them. And that really made me sad because I was thinking about all the kids who live in war zones who lost their limb and can't, you know, buy another limb because it's not available to them. And so I had a 3D printer and I had this idea, so I decided to make 3D printed prosthetics that are a lot cheaper and they can be customized since they're 3D printed.
There's a video of me building my first hand. Like, it's really long. It was really difficult to get all the pieces to fit and get them in the right spot, but I managed to figure it out, and after a lot of test tries, I got my first prototype.
When I had the idea for my prosthetic limb, I consulted with an orthopedic surgeon, and these are the books that he gave me so I could figure out what I needed, what elements I needed to really make the prosthetic work. Then after that, I researched more online and really narrowed down my prosthetic design and printed it. I had to pitch my business, Limitless Limb, to the Young Entrepreneurs Academy investor panel. I ended up winning the grand prize. I got $1,500 toward my business, and I used that to buy a new 3D printer that can make my prosthetics more functional and print them at a faster rate. So my goal with Limitless Limb is to help equip every child with limb loss with a functional limb that they can use and so that they can feel whole again and not feel different from everybody else.
When I'm not working on my business in 3D printing, I love to draw because it really relaxes me. And when I grow up, I want to go into art and design and be an architect.
But I still want to help people, and it's always been my number one priority to help people. So even if I am an architect, I'll still be helping people and on the side with maybe 3D printing different things now, organs and hearts, I don't know.
由于环境保护措施的实施，白沙正在回到新英格兰沿海区域，但是那个地方同样也吸引着许多游泳还有帆板运动的爱好者。
每年夏天，当成千上万的游客涌向马萨诸塞州科德角的海滩时，当地的人口就会激增。而在海浪底下，另一种季节性的访客数量也越来越多，那就是白鲨鱼。白鲨一度是人们捕猎的对象，在这个物种和它们的主要食物来源灰海豹一起受到保护之前，白鲨在这里相当罕见。
Having sharks off of our coast really represents the fact that we have a healthy ecosystem, but clearly creates some challenges.
为促进人类和鲨鱼之间的和平共存，大西洋白鲨保护协会推出的鲨鱼行踪手机应用程序可以让员工、民众和实时传感器密切追踪鲨鱼的行迹。
There are white sharks that have acoustic tags on them, and when they swim within a couple hundred yards of a receiver, that's equipment in the water to detect them, then that information will also go up on the app.
在夏季，几乎每天都有鲨鱼现身的情况。当鲨鱼在人多的水域触发传感器，应用程序上会出现警示，而海滩管理员可决定是否临时关闭海滩。在最近一次，也是80多年来这里发生的第一次致命的鲨鱼攻击事件后，人们正在学习如何在水里保持安全的方法。
It's their ocean. We're just visiting, and you have to respect the locals. There's no one thing that can keep you safe. Every little bit of information helps.
帆板运动员埃德伦奇密切注意自己收到的警讯。鲨鱼行踪应用的开发者说，这个应用从4年前发布以来，已经被下载50万次以上。目前主要关注北美洲东海岸的鲨鱼，不过它的用户范围遍布美国和全世界。这也标志着各地的人对这个牙齿锋利的庞然大物有多着迷了。美国之音记者马特·迪波尔报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。